neglect. Oh, man. Hey, by the way, thanks for the email. Over 100 email and text on Friday night after my Hawaii 5-0 episode. Thanks a lot. It means a lot. Nice to see all. What are you all doing staying at home watching television on Friday night? What you gonna do now the weekend's too. Okay, now, I don't want to say that we've joined the party. But we've joined the party. You know about Black Friday, right? Well, Black Friday is coming right up. And I'll tell you something. You may or may not be prepared for it. Black Friday is a special time in our lives. And to celebrate that a little bit, and to give you an idea just where this fits in the big picture, we have our expert on the line from Wamply. Now, you met Brad Plotho a while ago. He is actually in charge of corporate marketing and communications and design functions at Wamply. What's Wamply? Well, I'm going to tell you that first. Before we go anywhere, we better find out once again what Wamply is. Aloha, Brad, and welcome back to my program. Good morning. Okay, I'm thinking that we're having a little bit of trouble with that. Brad, do we have you?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry, I just went fuzzy for a second.
Okay, that's good. You got me now?
Got you now.
Perfect. Welcome back to the program. How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks. Obviously, it's not as great here in Utah as it is in Hawaii right now, but happy to be on the show with you.
Thanks. We're working on it. You know, I hate to tell you this, but our Salem stations, we have this big deal on Wednesday. It's the day before Thanksgiving, and it's our Black Friday deal. Black Friday used to be traditionally always the day after Thanksgiving, right?
It did. It's definitely creeping into the actual day of Thanksgiving. There's a whole lot of stuff that's happening the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, but some of the data that we're tracking shows that Black Friday is actually going to be a huge day this year for small local retailers, just like the Best Buys and Walmarts of the world as well.
You know, that's really good information because, you know, we try to buy local and everybody knows that, especially when we talk about our farm to table and produce and everything else. But, you know, I learned through you and others. And I want to tell you, since we met, I've checked out Wamply a few times. You guys are pretty hot on this stuff. It really does give a breath of hope into little mom and pops and people that are entrepreneurial this Friday, doesn't it, this Black Friday?
Yeah, it does. And just to put a little bit of shape on this, so one of the things that we do is we track transactions between consumers and small mom and pop shops. At the holiday season, we're really interested in how consumers are going to interact with retailers, and we look at this data for all 50 states. And just since we're talking about Black Friday, again, we typically associate this with long lines outside of Best Buy, people getting up for doorbuster deals. And we usually think, oh, well, Small Business Saturday, that's when everybody starts spending money with the small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
There is some truth to that, but actually Black Friday's got this massive pull, and people who are spending money in the big box shops spill over into the small shops. In fact, it's the number one sales day of the entire year for small shops. They see a 180% increase in revenue. More than double the transactions. Purchase price per transaction goes up by $10. So lots and lots of activity expected on Black Friday.
What I'm interested in is how do you gather your information? First of all, looking at some of the stuff that you do. I know a little bit. You've got, you know, you're a journalist, you're a communications expert. But how do people willingly give up the statistical data that you need to compile your stuff?
Sure. Good question. So we actually partner with payment processors. We partner with about 50 of the top payment processors and financial institutions in the country. And there's all this transaction data that's already going through their systems. And what we do is we unlock that for small businesses and we give them access to that. And one of the things that gives us an interesting view on is at a high level without kind of exposing business level information, we can see the transactions. So we can anonymize all that data, look at it from just kind of the 30,000 foot level and say, okay, in Hawaii, if we're looking at thousands of transactions for thousands of businesses every single day, what does that tell us about the consumer behavior in that state versus in other states in the mainland and just kind of national trends as well?
I'm blown away. As you know, the last time we spoke, I let you know that I grew up in the retail business and still have my younger sister. She's got retail stores in Waikiki. And I want to tell you something I think is really important for everybody to know. This information that you're talking about comes through what you call these payment centers. Most people don't know what happens when they put that credit card out and it goes into the machine. It doesn't just go to your friendly, warm-hearted banker. Isn't there a network of communications going on? And tell us what these payment centers, who are these payment processors?
Yeah, so if you think about the experience that you have as a consumer going to pay at the point of sale at any retail business, you get out your credit card, your debit card, you swipe it at the point of sale, And, you know, magic happens and suddenly it approves your credit card and you make a transaction with that business. The business is not responsible for approving your credit card or making that transaction happen on the back end. The point of sale system is the thing that routes this to the credit card processor. They process that information and decide, yeah, you actually do have available funds either on credit or through your account to make the transaction. And then they do all the work to make sure that transaction happens to where your funds are transferred to that merchant. So that's the world that we live in.
I was going to say,
happens very quickly.
Yeah, it's the world that you live in. And, you know, what I think that people got to appreciate is the second you swipe that card, somebody knows exactly what's going on with you. That's why this proprietary information and some of the other stuff about identity theft pops up. What other precautionary things do you learn about that, about the use of the data that you're gathering?
Yeah, so there are very strict regulations and standards around the protection of credit card data in particular. So, for example, Wamply, we're what's called PCI Level 1 compliant, which is the highest standard for protections of credit card data. We actually don't house the credit card information on our end. We just see the raw transaction files, which powers our software. But the folks that we work with in the payment processing world, they have to be compliant with these same standards. And even the merchants that we serve, small businesses in all 50 states, they're required, if they take credit card payments, to be PCI compliant as well. Because as you know, everybody needs to be careful with transaction data because it's financial in nature. It's tied to your credit card. So there are a lot of protections in place to make sure that credit card transaction data stays safe.
Okay, let's talk about some of the fun stuff. And everybody here in Hawaii, as you know, Brad, from our previous discussion, we want to know, where do we sit nationally? Are we weird? Are we the same? I mean, are we little stepchildren out in the Pacific? Where do we fit about this stuff? What can you tell us about Hawaii and Black Friday? And where we compare to others?
Sure. I'll give you a couple of examples of where you're right in line with the nation and some places where you're unique. So Black Friday, you are number 10 in the nation in terms of the dollar amount that small retailers are expected to rake in this year. And it's the number one day of the year. $3,600 is the target that we saw last year for the average retailer. And that's compared to $1,300 on average. And that's really driven by transaction volume goes from an average of 12 transactions to 30, so lots and lots more people coming in, foot traffic increases, and then the average purchase price for those people who come into the shop goes from $110 to $120, so 180% increase, and that's the third highest increase against an average day in the country. So Black Friday, if you just look at you compared to the rest of the country, number one day of the year nationwide, number one day in Hawaii, but your increase is significantly higher than average.
So see, that's what we like. We love hearing that. And I'll tell you another thing. I'm sure you've heard this before in other areas, but Hawaii was very, very slow to adapt the concept of credit. You know, a lot of ethnicities, particularly here in Hawaii, they don't even want to use a check. They want to use cash. And, you know, now we're almost in a cashless society. That means that a lot of these people have changed their mind on how they do business and how they view credit. In other words, I think I can't tell you when the last time I wrote a check. I pay stuff online. How does that compare you've been in the business for years. Aren't we all moving at this electronic stuff really a lot quicker than we were?
Yeah, in fact, today, I would say that mobile payments are what card transactions were maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
Wow.
So it used to be everyone uses cash. Now everybody uses cards. It's commonplace. And now the kind of like bleeding edge of that world is just paying with your phone, having some kind of a P2P app or something that allows like Apple Pay, that allows you to pay at the point of sale. So that's where things may be moving. But right now we do see like major concentration of card payments. It's pretty normal for someone to get up a card and pay as opposed to paying with cash these days.
Yeah, interesting you say that. The reason why is I had an experience the other night at one of our favorite takeout restaurants. And, you know, so you pull up for the curbside delivery and they see you on a camera. They know what kind of car you're driving, so they bring your stuff out. And in the past, you know, they bring your stuff out and then you give them your credit card. Then they go back inside, they run the card, and now they come out. This guy, the manager, my friend, he got a chip reader. I'm not a chip reader, but he got one of those the things you can wand into the phone. You know what I'm talking about. So now what happens? Yep. Now what happens is the guy comes out to deliver your sandwiches and swipes your card on his little thing and off you go. That saves not only 100 steps, but 100 minutes. So isn't it
yeah,
everybody's doing that, right?
All these things are make it easier on the merchant and easier on the consumer. So there's always a lag. You know, technology starts to develop and kind of exceed the rate at which consumers and businesses will adopt it. And you have to rebuild all of our muscle memory, and you know the way that we do things changes. But you do see that all of these changes do make for a better experience, which we think is actually much better for a small retailer or a small restaurant, because if, you know, if all things are equal and you can provide like a really unique experience, but also the convenience that they might expect from a larger company, then that gives you a much better advantage than you used to have in the past, where things were maybe a little clunky or you're handing out change.
Yeah, all of that stuff. You know, it's pretty interesting because right now, as much as I love our consumer listener, I'm really wanted to play this at our small business units because that's what I've got an awful lot of. We lead the field in that. And that means that you get, like what you do at Womply, don't you actually customize a package so that I can take a look at what I'm selling and when I should sell it and how I should do that? In other words, why throw advertising dollars or promotional dollars or discounts somewhere if it's not at the right time or if you're not looking at the right person? How can people figure out how to take advantage of all these stats?
Yeah, so we use these statistics to try to illuminate what's happening in the local markets because we do care about that. But to your point, one of the things that we see consistently is that when you go off of your gut instinct, you're wrong more than you're right. We are. We expected Small Business Saturday to be the top sales day of the holiday season for small businesses. Makes sense. It's marketed that way. And we see this huge gap between Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. We also see in a lot of cases that Cyber Monday, this day, you know, that's supposed to be all about Amazon, is a big sales day for local retailers. Mm-hmm. Now, if you make that leap down to the business level, you're running a business, you might make a bunch of assumptions that turn out to be wrong if you don't have good information. And so what we do is we pull together the ability to track customer interactions and really optimize the relationship with a customer from the time that they find your business on a third-party site like Yelp or Google Maps mm-hmm. or whatever, to the time that they transact with you. And then once they leave, you have to have a way to keep track of them and stay in touch. So we enable all of that customer interaction so you can attract and engage more customers. But we also want to show businesses what's working and help them to, for example, know when they need to hire more staff or bring more people or extend their hours of operation. So all of the data that we use to tell these kinds of stories at a national or local level is also available at a regional level to that business so they can understand how their sales are trending, how they compare to other businesses nearby, all those kinds.
Yeah, I think it's important because if you don't use the tools, you're on the dirt road of technology. You're not even on anywhere near the superhighway. What I'm guessing at, how do you make highs higher? Here's a good guy. This one comes from Sherman. It says, please ask your guest how I am going to be affected by the increasing number of people that want to order online, just like we do. I try to explain to my customers that we're going to give them better service, but what they're really doing is they just come in and they snap a picture of what I've got and then go outside and Google it and see if they can get it cheaper somewhere else. Wow.
Yeah, we definitely see that happening across the country.
So what's the battle plan, Brad? How are you going to help me get around that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It really depends on the business, but here's one example. So we have a barbecue restaurant that's fairly prominent in Kansas City, Missouri, and it's a brick-and-mortar business. People come in. The big tour buses stop there. That's really their bread and butter. However, they ran into the same problem where it's like, you know, how do I actually allow people to spend money with me online? And while they're never going to be a natively online business, and there is a lot of advantages to them being brick and mortar and allowing people to have a tactile experience with them, what they've done is they've taken their sauce, they've bottled it, and they sell it online. And they just have this very light e-commerce part of their business. And there's a lot of things like that that can be that you can do. The other thing is, you know, a lot of times a boutique retailer is selling things that you cannot find anywhere else. And I would really play that up. You know, if you realize that your Best Buy and people are coming in to play with an iPad, they can order the same thing online. That's one thing. But if you have very, kind of customized or one-of-a-kind items in your shop, that's something you can play up. And we see that consumer behavior is shifting to where people are looking for unique as opposed to something that they can find everywhere else.
Yeah, that's a great point. Gang, our guest is Brad Plotho. He is the Vice President of Brand and Communications from an outfit called Womply, Wompley. This is actually a good one. You're actually right on this. A friend of mine who's a shoe guy, he says, you know, online, you can never, in Hawaii, we have what we call luau feet, big feet. We're barefoot all our life. Our feet like expand. Everybody here, if you're a 10 size 10, you're a 10 narrow, I'm a 10 triple E. our local stores know to stock into the need. And a lot of times online, nobody wants to get stuck with a pair of 14-3Es in their warehouse online, so they don't even carry them in the first place. That's one way somebody can make a little gain, isn't it? A little headway.
Yeah, in fact, so one interesting example of this, you've seen a whole bunch of big retailers like Toys R Us going down. The same thing's happened on the restaurant side. So lots of big chain restaurants are getting going bankrupt. And there was a great Bloomberg article about the why. And one of the things that a lot of the analysts were saying is people are rejecting this sort of predictable restaurant experience. They want to go into a mom and pop shop because they can't get that experience anywhere else. And so exploiting that as an advantage, it's really the thing that we see as an opportunity for small businesses, whether you're a retailer, whether you're a tire shop, or you know, you're a lube shop competing against Jiffy Lube. All the different industry categories have this same opportunity, but there may be places where technology allows you to get an edge and automate things where, you know, you really shouldn't be spending time doing that. You should be spending time trying to interact with your customers, make their experience as memorable as possible. And so that's really what we see as an opportunity for small businesses these days, as you differentiate against being something that someone can get nowhere else.
Interesting you should say that, because I got a time crunch coming up here, but I want to tell you that there was an old Sports Authority location in not too far away from where our station is. And it was this huge air-conditioned space with bathrooms and everything else. And, you know, when Sports Authority, you know, crashed all over the country, this place has now turned into a small business, a plethora, like 200 small business guys in there sharing the cost of the building. Isn't that what a lot of these big boxes did? They expanded into areas that wouldn't support them, and then they started bailing and leaving the marketplace with no source.
Yeah, and, you know, you definitely run the risk if you're a big company of, you know, overexpanding. But most of these things we trace back to a change in consumer behavior. You know, people wanted convenience at all costs in the past. You know, that's been, you know, I think in the 80s and 90s and even early 2000s, kind of the characterization of how consumers behaved. And now they're like, look, you know, everything is convenient. Now I just want something that I can't get somewhere else. I want something unique. So that's definitely an interesting anecdote that supports what we're seeing nationwide.
That's great. If people want to know a little bit more about how Wamply operates and maybe how they might be able to get served by you, what can they do?
Go to Wamply.com, WMPLY.com.
Where does Wamply come from?
That's actually the name of our founder's childhood wombat pet.
Exactly.
From Australia. So there you go.
There's always a story somewhere. Hey, Brad, thank you so much for joining us. Happy holidays to you, and we look forward to seeing if all of these predictions you're talking about come true on, well, that's going to be black. Today's Black Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The next couple of weeks are all black days, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.